Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available on Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Order a copy online today.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God said it's not good for man to be alone. Brothers, every man in here, every man in here, every man in here, it's not good for you to be alone. God don't want you to be a playboy. Settle down. You don't have to date 40, 50 women to prove to us you Superfly Mac Daddy. Because if you think you Superfly, remember what happened to him at the end. It's not good for you to be alone. But what I found to be interesting is that God never said that a woman can't be alone. He said it's not good for man to be alone. He never said it wasn't good for a woman to be alone. There are some that it's good for you to be alone. Now, let me explain something to you. I'm not trying to be insulting. I've studied this intensively, and I'm really trying to understand God. You see, many of you pine for a husband. You pine for it. You want it so bad you can taste it. The question that you ask God sometimes is, Lord, why don't I have one? That's not the question. The question that should be asked is, God, why aren't I exhibiting the characteristics for what the person is looking for? Because men are looking for something. When God made the woman, he extracted the woman from the man and said she was to be a helper. She was not to be his rival. Even your ministerial calling is not above your husband's, even if your husband is not saved. No matter how deep you are in the Lord, you will never be the high priest of your home. In the book of Exodus, God said, if a husband hears a wife vow a vow and he doesn't substantiate the vow, he can disallow the vow. In other words, you can make a promise to God, your husband doesn't know about it, finds out about it, comes back and tells you, no, you ain't giving that money to that building fund. You say, but I promised God. He said, it is null and void. God said he will not hold you accountable. Why? Because your husband has disallowed it. In the Pentecostal church, we tend to promote the rise of femininity to the point where the man has been pushed into obscurity. Once again, if Satan can't stop you, he gets in behind you and pushes you fast. So what are we seeing? The rise in the woman being used of God, which is extremely good, but the demise of the man because he's made to feel that he lacks the anointing. And so what we see in many instances is when a woman rises to the position of apostle, prophet, and bishop, in many instances, her husband is fishing for an identity. And so many of those people will call their husbands elders, you know, co-pastors. Why? Because they want to bring them, listen to this, where God did not place them. So I cringe. What was that first statement that I told you to say? Please forgive me for my insensitivity. So you ought to be saying that to me. Because you're mad with what I'm saying now. Be sensitive to me that I got to deliver it. I cringe every time I hear, you know, behind every great woman is a good man. Man, you are never behind your woman. I don't care if God makes her an archbishop. You are not behind her. God didn't say you were the head only up until ministerial challenge. And before you go on that 30-day fast, you got to ask his permission. Because he may be thinking to take you on a secret romantic getaway downtown to the Ritz-Carlton. And fasting ain't in the agenda. Because according to Paul, fasting is the only time y'all can't, you know, get together. So why would he take you to a suite down at the Ritz-Carlton knowing you fasting? There ain't gonna be no hanky-panky when you're fasting. And why would God call you to the fast and sacrifice your husband? How's he supposed to feel? I've been planning this for 6 months. I got this time set aside, and you talking about God and called you on a fast. Just shoot. What you say is, honey, I feel led of the Lord to go on a fast. Do you have any plans for us? Please excuse. Y'all got to sympathize with me for having to preach the truth. I ain't got to. Listen to this. It is very difficult to be the head of anything. But you don't think that way because we're not trained to think that way. Here's my hypothesis. The areas of your life that are critical, marriage, sexuality, parenting, and childhood relationships, these are the most critical areas of your existence. Nobody taught you. Nobody sat you down and said, here's how you have sex. Nobody sat you down and said, here's how you treat your man. Here's how you treat your woman. Here's how you treat your children. You just had kids and thought you knew what to do. You just got married and thought you knew what to do. You just went by the emotional instincts. Why is that? Because those are the areas that require the most submission. God said, wife, submit to your husband. Anybody ever teach you what submission is? I never taught my daughter. No, I didn't. I taught her independence. I taught her that as you work and put your money aside, before you get married, you put your money in an account with your mother and I as the ones that we're the beneficiaries of that account. So if that fool acts up, he don't get one dime from you. And you're going to get a prenup. You say, hold it. She ain't going to have no millions of dollars. Let me explain something to you. If I got $400 million and I get divorced, she get $200 million, I still got $200 million. But if all I got is $35,000 and she get half, that's a lot of money. I'm only left with about $17,000. That won't get me 10 days in Disney. Now, was I wrong in doing that? From a psychological, secular perspective, no. From a biblical perspective, yes. Before she gets married, she should sit down with her mother and say, how do I submit? Then her mother will say, ask your father. Listen carefully. In the family, there are rules. There are areas of responsibility that God requires we fulfill. When they are lacking, the enemy comes in and destroys our posterity, our children. Why? Because there's an unwritten cardinal rule that children live what they learn. But children learn by observation. They don't hear a thing you say, but they pay attention to what you do. Now watch this. I'm almost done. This is just my opening. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If we do not have strong families, we can't have a strong church. And what is the church? Repeat what I say. My extended family. Hence, we use the terms brother, sister, mothers, elders. These are family titles. They're not just things we grab out of a hat. These are your brothers and your sisters and our mothers and our elders. An And the Bible tells us to treat them with respect. Why? Because the children of Israel, the surest way to be stoned was to mistreat an elder. We have people who speak injuriously about our mothers, who she thinks she is, to come and tell me what to do. Oh, if you did that under the Old Testament, they kill you. But we don't care about that now. Then we wonder why the blessings of God are limited in our lives, because we're disrespecting our elders. In the Bible, the scripture says you are to pay honor to the one with gray hair. There is a godly principle behind gray hair. It means that you have successfully raised teenagers. You have paid your dues and are entitled to honor. Survivor's benefits. And yet we have people dishonoring our mothers. The Bible says younger women are supposed to glean from them. They're supposed to teach you how to cook, how to love your husband, how to care for your children, how to care for your home. But the implication of that is that you are supposed to submit to them. Don't go around, they can't tell me nothing. Oh, really now? Why are they able to hold on to their husbands for 40 years and the younger one can't hold on to theirs for 40 days? And they did it without Teddy's massage oil and blue lights. Only oil they had was Crisco. They fed that fool. All the anger left. Baby, I was mad at you. Boy, this chicken sure tastes good. I believe I knew this bird from another life. They knew, oh, sit down and eat. Here, eat these greens. Eat some more of these greens. They knew if your mouth was full, you couldn't be cussing them out. That's why your husband's leaving you now. You don't feed him nothing. They knew. They sat their family down. They fed their man first. Kids didn't even get fed till Papa got fed. Today, you feed yourself. Hey, the food on the stove. Every man for himself. What does that create in your children? Selfishness, individuality, a lack of family participation.
In its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.